Prajkacharya Sutra Sutsi Samadhi Swain Grace Esi Bhaktiranta Samaraj Sila Prabhupada Kichai Ananta Koti Vaishnav Rinda Kichai Namachai Sila Haridas Thakur Kichai Grantarachima Pakotam Kichai Nitai Gaur Premanandi Haribol Samaveta Bhakta Vinda Kichai All glories to the same lotus, all glories to the same lotus, all glories to the same lotus. All glories to Guru Karanga, all glories to Prabhupada. If you like, you can come a little more near, because not so many. It's cold. Keep together. We have the Sankirtan movement, keeping together. Don't be afraid. Matajis, you can also come a little more near. Then I don't have to scream so loud. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Read from Srimad Bhagavatam. Sixth canto. Fourth chapter, text 41, and also the previous verses of 35. So first we read the verse for today with the purport, because normally one doesn't give a lecture about if there is no purport. So here. Na. Kinchana, kinchana diraitam, this is Ashokas, Ashraya, Mudha, Apurita, Manodvarair, Radinya, Iva, Nirchaharai, Nakinchano Tiraitam, Nakinchano Tiraitum, Ashoka Tivraya Muda, Ashoka Tivraya Muda. Apurita Madvodvarair. Apurita Manodvarair. Radinya Iva Nircharai. Radinya Iva Nityarai. Nakinchano Tiraitam. Ashaka Tivraya Muda. Apurita Manodvarai, Radinya Iva Nircharai.
Thank you.
Na, not. Hinchana, anything. Udiraitum, to speak. Ashokat, he was able. Divraya, by very great. Muda, happiness. Apurita, failed. Manadvarai, by the senses. Radinya, the rivers. Iva, like. Niacharai, by torrents from the mountains. Translation purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Ki Jaya. As rivers are filled by water flowing from a mountain, all of Daksha's senses were filled with pleasure. Because of his highly elevated happiness, Daksha could not see anything, but simply remained flat on the ground. Purport. When one actually realizes or sees the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is filled with a complete happiness. For example, when Dhruva Maharaj saw the Lord in his presence, he said, Svamin kritartosmin varam na yache. My dear Lord, I have nothing to ask from you. Now I am completely satisfied. Similarly, when Prajapati Daksha saw the Supreme Lord in his presence, he simply fell flat, unable to speak or ask him for anything. So we also read text 35 to 39. Sri Shukadev Goswami said, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Hari, who is extremely affectionate to his devotees, was very pleased by the prayers offered by Daksha, and thus he appeared at that holy place known as Agamarshanau. O Maharaj Parikshit, best of the Kuru dynasty, the Lord's lotus feet rested on the shoulders of his carrier, Garuda, and he appeared with 8 long, mighty, very beautiful arms. In his hands he held a disc, conchal, sword, shield, arrow, bow, rope, and club. In each hand a different weapon, all brilliantly shining. His garments were yellow and his bodily hue deep bluish. His eyes and face were very cheerful, and from his neck to his feet hung a long garland of flowers. His chest was decorated with the Kaustubha jewel and the mark of Srivatsa, and his head was a gorgeous round helmet, and his ears were decorated with earrings resembling sharks. All these ornaments were uncommonly beautiful. The Lord wore a golden belt on his waist, bracelets on his arms, rings on his fingers, and ankle bells on his feet. Thus decorated by various ornaments, Lord Hari, who is attractive to all the living entities of the three worlds, is known as Purushottama, the best personality. He was accompanied by great devotees like Narada, Nanda, and all the principal demigods, led by the heavenly king Indra. and the residents of various upper planetary systems such as Siddhaloka, Gandharvaloka, and the Charanaloka, situated on both sides of the Lord and behind him as well. These devotees offered him prayers continuously. And text 40. Seeing that wonderful and effulgent form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Prajapati Daksha was first somewhat afraid, but then he was very pleased to see the Lord, and he fell to the ground like a stick, dandavat, to offer his respects to the Lord. Today's now the verse with the purport. As rivers are filled by water flowing from a mountain, all of Daksha's senses were filled with pleasure. Because of his highly elevated happiness, Daksha could not say anything, but simply remained flat on the ground. Although Prajapati Daksha could not say anything, when the Lord, who knows everyone's heart, saw his devotee prostrated on the ground in that manner and desiring to increase the population, he addressed him as follows. Om Agyati Maranya Syakananchana Salakyam Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasma Shri Gurave Namaha Vanchakalpa Trubhyascha Kripasindibhevacha Patitanam Pamanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So here in Bhagavatam, Daksha's two lives are explained or described. First, because he offended Shiva, so he gave up his life out of shame, because the devotees or followers of Shiva, one of them cut off the head. Daksha was a great Prajapati, son of Brahma, who was very much engaged in yagyas, in performing sacrifices for the well-being of the universe and the world. So, but because he offended the devotee, Shiva, so he was, all his good work was, and yagyas were not helping him much. And so he lost his life, but then mercifully he got a goat head on his head by Shiva to give him back the life. So out of shame of that, to live in such a situation, in such a form, so Daksha later on, he gave up his life and he became born again as the son of the Prachetas. The first incarnation of Daksha was in the Svayambhu age, or Manu. And in the second life, when he became the son of the Prachetas, was in the Chakshusha Manvantar, that means in the sixth Manvantar. Now we are in the seventh, Svayambhu. So that means for five Manvantars, he was not manifested. According to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he performed a long time of tapasya in this time, so that he could become again Daksha. Because Daksha indicates that he was very expert in family life, I would say, to create children. So that was actually his purpose, that was his desire. And therefore he became first the son of Brahma, and he became one of the main Prajapatis to populate the whole universe. Then again, because he had still this great desire, this urge to create children and to become useful, to populate the universe in the Chakshusha Manvantara. Again, new people, new entities, embodied living entities, to give them an opportunity to become happy in this universe. So he again performed tapasya and prayers to get this benefit, to become again a Prajapati. So if I offend somebody or a great devotee like Shiva, one has some punishment, some reaction will be there. Ultimately, that person then he performs tapasya and chants or offers prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The fortune or the good luck of Daksha is that he is actually a devotee. Not pure devotee, but he has an attachment or an inclination to approach the Lord. And this is very good. That Daksha, although he was a family man, he was attracted to create a lot of children. He had also in the same time, he knew, I have to approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I have to satisfy him to get his blessings. Because without the blessings of the Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Jagadishvara, the Lord of the universe, without his blessings, no mission can be fulfilled. So a devotee, therefore, he always is humble. A devotee's quality is humble and he is submissive to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And always is ready to glorify him in chosen prayers. The Lord is known as Uttama Shloka. That means he who is glorified by chosen prayers, by the supreme prayers or supreme verses, not ordinary verses. Ordinary verses or slokas or poetry is called Gramya Katha, but is very attractive to the it's like garbage, hearing of nonsense, like the crows, black birds here. You see, they're only after garbage. They're not attracted to the beautiful things. So those who are crow-like in mentality, they like to hear about mundane poetry or affairs and stories, novel stories like that. But those who are more interested in the Lord, in the personality of Godhead, who are more or less in the mode of goodness, although also some passion is there, they are approaching the Lord and pray to him. Of course, there are also demons who may Vishnu. We heard, you know, that Charasanda. For example, Charasanda, he had a kind of bhakti. He held secretly in his own home, he worshipped Vishnu, Shalagram Shila. But actually, he was a very great enemy of Krishna, who is actually the origin of Vishnu. It's very interesting. He worshipped Shalagram Shila. Shalagram Shila is representative of Lord Vishnu, as we know. So he had some bhakti. But at the same time, he became an enemy of Krishna, the original Vishnu. Because he thought, it is this Krishna who killed my very dear friend and son-in-law, Kamsa. Because this Krishna killed Kamsa, I will make a blood revenge. Demons, they have blood revenge. You heard about that. If somebody is killed, relative is killed, then that person who killed him, he also has to be killed. So it's called blood revenge. So therefore the demons always... Therefore the demons always were their enemies, actually, ultimately of somebody. They always have to see who is my friend and who is my enemy. But the bad luck of Jarasandha was that he became an enemy of Krishna, who was at that time on the earth incarnated. He appeared in this world, manifested himself in Mathura as the son of Devaki and Vasudev. And later he also came here to Vrindavan. So therefore this bhakti of Jarasandha ultimately, although he had a good quality, he worshipped Lord Vishnu. And the other quality, he was very charitable. So still the acharyas say this kind of bhakti is not a real bhakti. It is Jarasandha bhakti. Jarasandha is a form, I know, who was united of two parts, put together, of a child who was cut apart. So therefore, this divided bhakti, it is not the pure bhakti. So if our bhakti is divided, or motivated, or tinged with a personal interest, or selfishness, and especially also with anger and jealousy, and so many habits for ourselves, then this bhakti is more or less not brings the real fruit, especially for Jarasandha not. No. So demons are also sometimes attracted to worship Lord Vishnu, to perform yagya, to doing good, and be charitable, whoever comes to them. No. But their heart ultimately is not changed. Their heart is not changed. So in Daksha we can see he performed yagya in previous life, huge yagyas, because it was in the age of yagya, of huge sacrifices. It was a great event where all the high society of demigods and sages came together, and the Lord worshiped Lord Vishnu. So Vishnu was always the goal in all over the Vedas, and even in all the time, Vishnu, he was to be worshipped. And all the demigods took part in it, who were representatives of Vishnu. And they also had to be ultimately get worshipped and pleased with the Vishnu Prasad or Krishna Prasad. And in this way, the demigods who are representative of Lord Vishnu will give blessings. So Daksha, he had this impression from previous life of devotion and some performance of yagya and doing good. So he again took this subtle program with him to his next body. The impression. Impression is important. Impression from one life, from this life, will bring us the next life. And because Daksha already performed pious activities in previous life, and he had some devotion to Vishnu, he could continue in next life too. He offered prayer, not his own prayers. He offered the prayers of Hamsaguya. In the beginning of this Hamsaguya, they stated, Prabhupada notes or give a purport, that these prayers are ancient prayers. They existed already before Daksha's time. So anyway, never mind. If one offers one's own prayers, but most of people don't know how to pray, or what to pray, what to say. and what to pray for. So therefore it's recommended that one chooses prayers who from the Vedic scriptures, who are recognized by the great Acharyas and by the personality of Godhead himself and by the Mahajanas. Because if one chants those prayers who are recognized by the authorities of devotees and by the and are accepted and appreciated by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that will give a great result. And Daksha knew about that, because this prayer of Hamsaguya, where he prayed actually to the Supreme Lord in his impersonal and also personal form, as name and also no name. He has a name and no name, but clearly he describes the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is a person. Ultimately, he didn't pray to the unperson. He was not an impersonalist in that sense. And he addressed Lord Vishnu. That was because that training he already got from previous life, from Lord Brahma, because he was Brahma's son. So Brahma's son, he taught his sons how to worship Vishnu. Because without pleasing Lord Vishnu, without offering sacrifice to him and pleasing him, the world and our life cannot become benefited. It cannot become prosperous. The world can only be, people can become prosperous if they worship Lord Vishnu. And so, Daksha had this Vishnu Bhakti or worship of Vishnu, Aradhanam to Vishnu in him. So he practiced these prayers, although they were not his personal prayers. He took some recognized prayer of Vedic scriptures, and he recited that prayer for a long time. And the prayer is like a mantra. It has a purification, and it ultimately attracts the Lord. Because a prayer should not be just prayed in the to the void or to the mind or for attracting others. It should be addressed to the Lord, to the deity, what we want to attract or to worship, to get the blessing for. That means one has to know whom to address with the prayer. And we have to know and we have to have a desire. A desire, a motivation, a desire. What kind of benefit, what kind of boon or blessing you would like to have from the Lord? Either, because Bhagavatam says, it doesn't matter if you have a selfish desire, sarvakama, or desire for liberation, or if you have desire for no desire, moksha karma, akama. Akama sarvakamova, moksha kam udharati. Those who are udharati, who are broad-minded, who are whose intelligence is clear, who have a proper understanding, they will worship Krishna, they will approach Krishna. Udharati, tivrena, bhakti yogena, yachita purusham param. They will approach the Supreme Personality, who is purusham param. Is purushottama, Prabhupada. Pointing out, is Purushottama, the Supreme Person. Purusha means the Supreme Enjoyer. Bhaktaram, Yagyatapasam, Sarva Loka Maheshwaram, Suridam, Sarva, Bhutanam, Gyantim, Shantim, Richati. Bhagavad Gita states, the Purushottama, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is the Enjoyer of all sacrifices. Bhaktaram, Yagyatapasam, He accepts the offerings of the sacrifice of the devotee. Sarva Loka Maheshwaram, he is the Lord of all the world, of all the people and all the demigods who are controlling deities in this universe. And Suridam, he is Surit, Sarva Bhutanam. He is Surit, his friend, Bhakta Vatsalya, his friend, always inclined
to his devotees, bhaktas, bhaktavatsala. Krishna and all Vishnu forms are bhaktavatsala. They're very much love their devotees. Not only the devotees love the Lord also loves them, and he reciprocates with their desires. Yetamam prabhatyante tamsatai bachamiham. Krishna is pointing out Bhagavad Gita also. According to how we approaching the Lord, how we desire to see him, the Lord reveals himself accordingly. For example, Atri Muni, there was a Vedic sage long time ago. Atri, his life is shortly mentioned or described in the beginning of four canto. Atri Muni with his wife, he also wanted to have child. He wanted to have a son. So for the purpose to get a son, you know, he knew I have to worship the Supreme Lord. He didn't know exactly which Ishvara, because Ishvara can mean Vishnu, it can mean Brahma, who is also Ishvara in this universe, the creator of the universe, and it also can mean Mahadev, Shiva, who is also Ishvara. So all three of these deities known in this universe, main deities, they are known as Ishvara. So now, Atri Muni, he didn't know which kind of Lord specifically he wanted to address. So in his prayer, he offered prayer to Ishvara to get a son. But he didn't want to have a son. He didn't want to have the Lord as a son. Like Daksha also didn't want to have the Lord as a son. He only wanted, Atri Muni, he wanted to get a son who is similar like God. That's the difference. Vasudev and Devaki, they wanted to have the Lord themselves as their son. And therefore the Lord Vasudev Krishna appeared as their son. Because they wanted to serve him. They wanted to have him, to facilitate him as mother and father, because you know when the Lord comes to this world, he also needs mother and father, although he doesn't need, but he accepts. That's the Leela. Most of avatars, especially the later avatars. Of course, the previous avatar, earlier avatars didn't need mother and father, like Matsya, Korma, Varaha, Nisingha, they appear all in very mysterious, very special ways. Only after the fifth avatar, he accepted mother and father. It was Vamanadev. So that's... Then Parushuram, he accepted mother and father. Then Ramachandra accepted mother and father. Then Krishna and Balaram accepted mother and father. So Nisingadev, all other avatars appeared with mother and father. Although the Lord is the original father and the original mother and the origin of everything, he doesn't need mother and father, but he accepts. No. Because a devotee desires to serve the Lord as a mother and father. That means that the Lord will become their son. So therefore, Vasudev received Krishna as his son. And Atri Muni, he didn't have this desire. He had the desire to have a God equal. Not the Lord himself, but somebody who has equal qualities as the Lord. But that's difficult. This material world, to have somebody who is equal to the Lord without the Lord's special blessings and without that the Lord himself comes. Of course, the Lord can also empower somebody who is equal to him, but it will not be the Lord himself. So anyway, Atri, he offered the prayer to the Ishvara of the universe, Jagadishvara, although no specific idea who actually he meant, so ultimately three deities appeared, all in the different carriers. So the Brahma came, Shiva came, Vishnu came. Vishnu came on Garuda, Brahma came on his swan, Hamsa, and Shiva came on his bull. Nandi, and Vishnu on Garuda, who is Suparna, is described in the description here. Suparna, golden wing. Suparna means golden wings. He has golden wings. So he was very gigantic bird and very effulgent, like pure gold. That's the meaning of Suparna. So whenever Vishnu comes, the sense of to this world, we know we can recognize him on his carrier. He will come with Garuda. And whenever Shiva comes, he will come mostly with his bull carrier. And Brahma with Swan. So that's how the three deities appeared. And the sage, he also offered his dandavats, his prayers, and he was very happy, but also confused. Oh, three of you appeared? Because you called for us. So we're not completely sure whom you meant. So therefore we thought, because we are all three, we are pleased with you, because when Vishnu is pleased, or opposite, when Brahma or Shiva is pleased, then Vishnu also is pleased, so that everyone, because they're all united with each other, they're not somebody lives there and somebody there and there, without having any relationship or knowledge about each other. So they know, they're completely are aware about each other, and therefore whenever Vishnu is pleased, then Brahma and Shiva will know about it, so they will also be pleased. And whenever Shiva is pleased or Brahma, then Vishnu is pleased. So that's the principle. That's the principle. So therefore, we don't always have to approach Krishna or Vishnu himself. We can also approach somebody who is very dear or related or empowered by him. And if that person becomes pleased, then Vishnu is also pleased. Aradhanam sarvisham Vishnu aradhanam param tasma paratram devi tadiyanam samarchanam. So Shiva is very dear, his tadiya. Brahma is tadiya. They're devotees, very, very great devotees. So they were always connected, without mobile phone, without any connection, electronical system. No, they're connected with Lord Vishnu. So they're on that spiritual platform. So these three deities appeared, and therefore they told, we will decide now to come all to you, and we'll become your son. Because whenever a deity comes, it should not be fruitless. There should not be no result. You have to accept an award. Every deity wants to give you an award, will give you a benediction. And the benediction, what Atri wanted, he desired, was son. Okay, so all three of us will become your son. So instead of one son of Ishvara, who is an equal to Ishvara, so he got three sons who became empowered expansions of these three deities, guna avatars. In this way, Brahma became Soma, the moon god. Shiva, he became Durvasa Muni, Durvasa, this great sage. He's a Rudra avatar or expansion of Rudra. And Shiva and Vishnu became Dattatreya, the great mystic sage, Dattatreya. So in this way, Atri Muni became the father of all these three principal demigods who expanded themselves as his sons. So in the same way, also Daksha Prajapati, he wanted to have a son. He worshipped the Lord with that purpose in his heart or in his mind. Yet his desire, that was his sankalpa, because whenever one worships the Lord, one has to have a sankalpa. That means a desire, a deep, sincere desire, but nobody else can fulfill you. Then one approaches the Lord. If you have ordinary desires, you don't have to approach the Lord. You can buy it. You just work hard, get money, and then you can fulfill in this way all your desires. No. But sometimes one tries to get something, it's not possible. No. Like Daksha, he tried to get children before that. It's described in the beginning of this chapter. He tried, but he was not satisfied with the product. With the children production what he got. He was not so pleased. Therefore, he took tapasya upon himself. He offered prayers to the Lord. He subordinated. He felt himself helpless. Oh, my Lord, I cannot. I always thought I'm daksha. I'm very expert to create children, but I cannot get it together this time. I'm very sorry. I cannot fulfill the order or the urge, what I feel in my heart to create so many children, to populate the universe. Oh my Lord, you are Bhakta Vatsala. You are very inclined and very kind to your devotees. Please, therefore, please come and fulfill this desire. I cannot fulfill it myself. I'm incapable. That was also Brahma in the beginning of creation. Same mood. He had this urge. He knew my mission is to create this universe. But I don't know how to do it. So therefore, for a long time, he performed tapa. He heard this sound, tapa. And this was a divine sound above him, because he was the first creation. The first person who appeared in the universe. So he performed tapasya and he offered prayers to the Lord, a meditation. Rida adi kave muyanti yatsuraya techo. So he was very much absorbed. Tene brahma adi kave. He was adi kavi. So he was absorbed in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then the Lord revealed himself to him. Because Brahma, he knew, I have to create this world, this universe as it was before. But I don't know how. And especially, I don't want to become entangled in my own creation. Because I know this creation is very dangerous. There will be the modes of material nature as Maya's world. So if I create this world, then I will become influenced by it myself, and I become entangled. So he was very much afraid. So therefore he prayed to the Lord, please protect me. Please protect me that I will not become entangled in my own creation, in my own work. In other words, in my own work, don't let me become entangled. I have not the power to become detached. Only if you give me the mercy, then I can become detached. Therefore, later on, when Krishna revealed himself, he told, my dear Brahma, the desire what you have, or what you had, is already fulfilled. That's already fulfilled. And don't be afraid. You will not become entangled by your own creation. I will protect you. I will empower you. So the Lord is always kind to the devotees who are approaching him, because he knows they want to do something for the benefit for the universe. So I want to give them these blessings. And Krishna also told him, you have to understand, Brahma, the prayer what you chanted is my mercy. The tapasya what you performed is my mercy. And your faith in me is my mercy. In other words, without the mercy of the Lord, we cannot offer a proper prayer in a proper mood. The prayer will not even appear in our mind, in our heart, because of misfortune. So only if we have the proper mercy of Krishna, the Supreme Lord, We can actually chant the prayer properly. The prayer will not be just on the tongue and as a matter of duty to chant the prayer. It will appear in the heart. It will enlighten you completely with ecstasy, with transcendental bliss. The tears will flow from the eyes. Therefore, the devotee always cries to the Lord, please come, help me, take me out from this world. Of course, sometimes the devotee doesn't pray in the way as Lord Chaitanya, to take me out from this world, you can uplift me, but to engage me in your service in this world, because you manifested me in this world, so I want to serve you in this world according to your desire, not according to my whimsical desire. So that's the devotee prayer, therefore. And this prayer, what the devotee prays, his devotion, his faith in the Lord, and the austerities, what he performs, only is possible if one gets the protection and the mercy, special mercy, protection, and the strength of the Lord to continue. Otherwise, we always go up and down in an unsteady way. But to become steady, we need the Lord's special mercy. So it's Krishna consciousness or devotion is not something sentimental. It's not material sentimental, coming and going. It's not a fashion. It's something that it's continuous. Kirtaniya sadahari. Satatam kirtayantamam. It should continuously go on. This service, this devotional service. Pachatam satatam kirt. What is the verse? To continuously going on in devotional service. Dadami buddhi yogam tam. What is the verse? Desham satate yuktanam. Bachatam priti purvakam. Dadami buddhi yogam tam. Yenamam upayantite. Those who are always surrendered to me with love and devotion, I will give them the understanding. I will give them the opportunity for bhajan, for devotional service. So that is Krishna's great kindness. Therefore, a devotee understands, I'm orphan, I'm powerless for fulfilling a spiritual mission, also for creating something in this material world, manifesting something substantial, beneficial for the world and for myself. So I therefore have to depend on the Lord and cry for the Lord and pray to Him. No, please come and give me your mercy, fulfill my desires. And then ultimately when the Lord comes, as described here, the devotee becomes so overwhelmed of ecstasy, like rivers, or I would say rivulets falling from the mountains in a sea or in a lake, becomes filled up more and more and more with pure crystal water from the waterfalls and from the rivers flowing in that lake. In the same way, the ecstatic, the ecstasy becomes so overwhelmed of the devotee when he gets the darshan of the Lord, that he cannot think about anything else anymore. He becomes all his senses become overjoyed, overflooded by this ecstatic feeling of the darshan of the Lord, his beauty, his ornaments. The Lord is never without associates, without symbols, without ornaments, without dress. So it's Pita Vasa. He has his different signs or marks on his body. Sri Vatsa is white hair, golden hair on the right chest. Kaushubha Jewel, the Vaijayanti garland reaching down to his feet. It's a Vanamali. forest garland, five colors, looking very beautiful. He has his associates around him, his carrier, like Garuda, his associates and servants. So he's not coming alone. And always the demigods and sages are surrounding him, glorifying him in beautiful prayers of Vedas, Purusha Shukta, or other prayers. So whenever he appears in with his like a king, like with his whole entourage to give darshan to one person. Because the Lord is in everyone's heart. He's inside, the outside. He can appear at any time. And the Lord makes it very interesting. He makes like a whole parade, you know, whole presentation as a king with all entourage will come, complete, equipped in all opulences to reveal himself to the devotee, although he's in the heart already. He comes like he comes from far away. But it's very interesting, in the end of the story, after Lord Vishnu wanted to gave blessing to Daksha, he just disappeared. Like that. In the beginning he came, gradually, and then, like a dream, you know, he disappeared. So that means the Lord, he can come slowly to you, or he can also disappear at any time. So that's the power of the Lord. And he makes it very interesting, very anxious, I'll say, anxieties, you know. He makes it very excited. He makes it very excited for the devotee. So to overflood him with emotions, with ecstatic feelings. And then what the devotee will do when he sees the Lord coming? He just falls down like a stick. Dandavat. Dandavat. And even that one can see the Lord when it's special eyes, because the Lord is so effulgent. Garuda has golden things. The Lord is so much golden, so much ornaments on him. Everything is so much shining, effulgent. So Daksha needed special eyes also, but the Lord, the mercy, the Lord, that he could see him. And then ultimately, he just stood here, simultaneously overpowered of a little fear, some fear. Some extraordinary supreme personality of Vishnu is here now. So what I will tell him. So he was completely dumb. He could not speak. He could only gaze at the Lord and become completely overpowered by his emotions. All his senses were completely tilted, you know, only focused on the Lord. But he could not express anything else anymore. All his desires, like Dhruva, as also pointed out, Dhruva in the end, when he saw the Lord, he told Swami Kritasvim Varamna Yaje, oh my dear Swami, my dear Lord, Master, sorry, I have no more desire. All my desires are filled. I'm satisfied, fully satisfied now. Beginning had so much desire. Daksha also had desire, but he could not express it in front of the Lord. So then the Lord told, I already know your desire. That's next verses then. So next classes. I know already your desires, and you should know your desire is already fulfilled. You will get your desired. Fulfilled, you know, all these children, what you want, you know, they will appear, you know, like that. So, Lord is merciful in any way, in any sense. But to speak also, if you're a devotee in Lord Chaitanya's Sankhita movement, if you are somehow or other, take the desire of Srila Prabhupada and offer the Hare Krishna mantra and other prayers to the Lord, to engage us in his Sankhita mission, to either create many children in form of making new devotees by giving them books and information about Krishna, making them attracted to Krishna in this way by your own conviction and enthusiasm and faith in Krishna, and example what you give in Krishna consciousness will attract others to become devotee sons of the Lord. So in this way the population of devotees can increase. Or if you are a grihastha and want to have many children in the future who will continue with your family business or assisting Srila Prabhupada in his family business, then you will also worship the Lord to get many children. Very nice. We will stay in Krishna consciousness. We'll become useful in serving Srila Prabhupada and the Parampara and spreading the Sankirtan movement. In any way, we should always understand we are useless by ourselves. We have no power. We have no intelligence. We cannot do the impossible ourselves. It's only possible by the mercy of the Lord, so that we can do something. Doesn't have to be extraordinary, even a little thing, for the pleasure of Krishna. We don't have to do big things for Krishna. We can also do small things for the pleasure of Krishna. With pure love and devotion. And ultimately, that pure love and devotion, the attitude we have to serve Krishna, doesn't matter big or even very small. Krishna sees that very small thing with your devotion, and he accepts that, and he makes it very great. And we offer him, and if we offer him many things, we can anyway not satisfy him. If you don't have the love and devotion and his special mercy. So therefore Krishna, we cannot impress the Lord only by great result. If we only do it because of result, of impressing the Lord or impressing others, then that's not I would say the greatest pleasure for the Lord. Greatest pleasure of the Lord if we are doing something with dedication, with bhakti, with love, with devotion, in the association of devotees, then that will attract the Lord. So I stop here. Hare Krishna. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Glory to Prabhupada.